All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Today is Thursday, February the 12th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. Whew, I had to run downstairs, run back upstairs, so now I'm a little winded, but I'm going to make it. I got this. Just got back from the gym. It's so funny. I try to go to the gym, you know. I'd like to go every day. My intentions are definitely to go every day. Most of the time I do get there. I don't probably make it as much on the weekends, but Monday through Friday I try to get to the gym, do the elliptical, do some cardio. I went, let's see, so it must have gone Tuesday. Lifted little weights. I'm a little sore today. Tuesday, I'm like, I'm gonna go to the gym and lift weights every day. And today, I'm so sore, I'm like, I can't lift any weights. I'm gonna have to just go do the elliptical. And so I went and did the elliptical. But it's funny, you know. Last night, my son was up here, and I was looking all around for him. So I went upstairs to find him, and he was up here, and I was talking to him, and ended up going back downstairs and sat down, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is all the elliptical work I've been doing? And I can't even run the stairs, or excuse me, walk the stairs without getting winded. So funny. Maybe it's just because I went from not moving to moving. Maybe if I slowly got into it, I would mellow out. But it was pretty funny. so anyway, excuse me, I've been at the gym. I'm home. We got some appointments. I'm working today for a little bit. Yeah. It's a great, great day, great life. Everything is happy. Everybody's good. I want to shout out to my boy Dean. He's been giving me some assistance in my dietary insufficiencies, and I appreciate it. You know, it's one of the cool things about recovery and the community. You know, when I came in the program, I just had all these people I knew, and you know, if I knew you, I probably wanted something from you, or it was some way to get something. It was an alleyway towards, you know, probably drugs or alcohol or something. I didn't really have any decent friendships, didn't really thoroughly, truly care about somebody, and I don't think someone ever truly cared about me. It's always so funny back in those days. I think about all the friends I had, especially when I was in San Diego doing drugs and selling drugs in this tight community of loyalists, and you know, and then you go to jail. And I came back from when I came back from jail, my you know, I was in jail for almost 100 days, and when I came back, the bed in my bedroom was broken.
Try to hold on, but I'm callous to the bone.
weathered creed, it just won't heal.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a funny story. You know, this is, you know, I'm in jail
and I come back and my bed in my room is completely broken because a buddy of mine had come over maybe day one, first day I left, I don't know, but had apparently been having a relationship with my girlfriend, and they must have had the sex Olympics in that bed, and they fucked it up. So shout out to them. I think she died, unfortunately, probably from alcoholism. We were definitely, but you know, that was a long time ago. It was funny because we, you know, I'd been in jail. That had been taking place. I get out of jail. You know, of course, there's this, unwritten problem, unspoken problem, which is that they have a relationship and I'm back. And that's when I basically packed up all of our stuff. Not because of that. I had to get out of San Diego. I was definitely headed for nowhere good. And her and I drove across the United States and ended up here on the East Coast. And then, of course, he showed up here. He showed up here one day. They disappeared. We had a missing persons out on her for a day. I didn't even know where she had gone. And turns out he, my buddy, good friend, right, had showed up in Delaware to chase down the love of his life. And my father ended up driving him back to BWI so he could fly back to California. And she would eventually leave. I don't know if they would end up being together. I don't think so. She ended up being with another guy that I was friends with. And but I think she, I don't know. I hope she didn't die. But, you know. Anyway, it's funny what you think are your friends. It's funny what you think is important in those days. And it turns out none of those people would ever be, you know, my friends. In fact, I shouldn't say that. The buddy that came over here that was having the relationships with my girlfriend, him and I are still friends. He's sober. His brother is sober. You know, it's all drugs and alcohol. It's all evil. It's all spiritual. It's all, you know, it's the dark side, and you can't play in the dark side because there are no rules. And so, yeah, we all got sober. We're all still friends. I mean, I don't speak with them much, but we are friends on Facebook. But yeah, I hope, you know, to come back around, it's nice in this portion of my life to have friends like my buddy Dean who, you know, checks on me and reaches out. And I told him last night, I am not going to eat Oreos. I'm going to be accountable. And I didn't. I did not eat Oreos. But yeah, I thought I'd come upstairs, have a little time, a lot of interesting stuff going on. You know, it's funny, if you watch TV or anything like that, you know, we have a lot of political chaos, whether you're on one side or the other, it is just a lot of, and, but you know, I hear a lot about evil and spirits and hell and heaven and a lot of spiritual talk, spirit talk. I hear a lot more of that today than I really ever have ever heard in my entire life. I've never heard, you know, whether it's these files, right, and the people that are in them and the evil folks and these different clubs and eating babies or whatever the hell these people are doing. For what, I don't know, right? I'm not sure. Coloring your hair, I feel like, is holding on to the youth, but trying to actually, I'm not sure what they're doing. But the word on the street is that things are happening, and it sounds evil. And, you know, as a person that's been sober, I've struggled with the spirits, you know, for a long time, clearly while being sober. Identifying them in my life has been a big deal. And, you know, I read this, I went to the meeting on Tuesday. I don't know if I've done this podcast since, but the reading, it was as Bill sees it, and the reading was, is happiness the goal? It says, I don't think happiness or unhappiness is the point. How do we meet the problems we face? How do we best learn from them and transmit what we learned to others if they would receive the knowledge? In my view, we of this world are pupils in a great school of life. It is intended that we try to grow and that we try to help our fellow travelers to grow in the kind of love that makes no demands. In short, we try to move toward the image and likeness of God as we understand him. When pain comes, we are expected to learn from it willingly and help others to learn. What happens comes, we accept it as a gift and thank God for it. Whew. That's page 306. I don't have enough light up here, but, you know, I didn't, you know, it's a great reading, you know, the, you know, happy, not happy. You know, if I had looked at my life back in San Diego, I would have said I was having a great life. You know, I was living the life. And that life consisted of me not working, me selling drugs, making pretty good money doing it, my parents paying for my rent. My parents probably paying for pretty much everything. You know, they'd go to the grocery store. My dad was in the military, so my mom would go to the base commissary, and she'd be like, what do you need? And then, you know, and she would buy us food and stuff, and I'd go over there and pick up food. And so I was living a life of basically everybody just taking care of me, doing whatever it is I wanted to do, a life of self, right? And I was having a great time, drinking every day, using drugs, partying, hanging out in bars, shooting pool, staying up all night playing darts, just, you know, the tweaker life. And I lived that way for a few years. In fact, I don't know how I got away with it for so long. But if you'd asked me back then, I'd say I'm living the greatest life ever. And, you know, so back in those days, anything good would be like, you know, free drugs, you know, free game of pool, somebody buying me a drink, you know, avoiding cops, finding drugs, you know, whatever it is that I was living that life of serving self. And a bad life would be, you know, working, not doing drugs, not drinking, getting caught, going to jail, being accountable, being held accountable. Those would all fall under the bad life. And, you know, it's funny today. You know, and I've said before, I couldn't imagine this life. This wouldn't be the life I would imagine or wish for, but this is the life I have, and this is the best life I have ever had, at least up until this point. Now, but I'm also looking at it from a different point of view, right? Because I, today, you know, and I shared this at that meeting, you know, everything that I thought was difficult or hard or... I mean, difficult and hard, I thought was bad. And everything that was easy, free, given to me, you know, the easy way was all good. You know, if I found money, if I found 20 bucks on the ground, that would be a win. If I, you know, got called out and couldn't go to work, that would be a win, right? It was always, how can I get out of work? I don't know if we've all gone through this, but it was definitely like, I think I'm going to call out today. I don't feel good. And sometimes I didn't, right? I was probably hungover or actually probably unemployable. So just a whole different world. And today, you know, I try to see the positive in everything. And it turns out there's a lot more positive in everything than there is that I thought. You know, like a day's work, I'm like, oh, God, I got to go to work. Well, you know, and I'll never forget my buddy Matt changing that whole from I have to I get to. Not a, you know, not a mind-blowing thought, right? But when he said that, I was like, wow. You know, that definitely changed how I looked at things. And when that started, so an attitude of gratitude, right? And I think the attitude of gratitude is what really changed my perspective on what happiness is. And... it also changed my perspective on what hell is and heaven and dying and all these other things. Like, you know, people say, well, what's, I was watching something last night. They were talking about, you know, what's life after dying and is it heaven and, or are we judged? And, you know, and I used to always think about going to heaven. I hope I can make it to heaven. What's heaven like? I can't wait to go to heaven. Can I fly? You know, whatever it is that served me, I thought it was going to continue in heaven. And today I don't look at it that way. Like, I have no idea, right? I'm just guessing. Just, I guess I'm serving self by guessing. But I'm assuming, actually, I'm not even going to assume. What it has turned out to be for me is that, You know, I could be living in heaven or a hell right now. You know, prior to getting sober, I was living in hell. In my mind, I thought it was like, actually, right before I got sober, I was living in hell. I was on board with that. Everybody was on board with that. But if I go back to like San Diego, I would think I was living the high, not heaven, but it's an awesome life. But you know, today I'm like, well, what is it that I'm, could I possibly be in heaven right now? And this is just, you know, me talking, but you know, could this be as good as it gets? You know, I definitely can see how this life could be a living hell, right? Prior to getting sober and that self-centeredness and that constant defeat and no hope and disappointment, you know, it was really bad. And especially when back in those days, zero accountability, so it was everybody else's fault. So I was just had a lot of bad luck. I wish I could just get it together. Wish it would go my way for once. And, you know, it turns out that that's almost like living in a hell. And today, as I try to be the opposite of that. And, you know, I saw this thing on Reels and this, I don't know, some lady's like, you know, I have the worst relationship. I have a boyfriend who doesn't gossip. And I thought that was really funny. She'd be like, oh my God, I heard so-and-so was doing this. He's like, I don't know. And that's how I try to be. I don't know. None of my business. You know, my wife, you know, she's, you know, they do the horses and they're at the horse barn. There's always like horse barn drama. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I just try to stay out of it because today I know, like as soon as I start to go into guessing or, you know, trying to think or predict what somebody else is going to do, I open myself up. I can't handle all of that. You know, my buddy Matt taught me that prayer, Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And one of the things, or two of the things that I recognize out of that prayer is one, you know, all I can handle is what's going on in my square. And two, I have to recognize that I can't do it by myself. I need God's help. And so when I say that, Dear Lord, my shoulders are not big enough, I'm turning this over to you, it just releases me from all this selfishness. Because as soon as I'm wondering and thinking and predicting about what other people are doing today, tomorrow, or yesterday, or the day before, I am carrying too much. It's too much to handle. But it happens so easily. You know, it's just, it like, you know, the next thing I know, I'm worrying about tomorrow and I'm worrying about what other people are doing. And it's kind of funny. I had a, actually, I'm not even going to get, well, I had a client and she, you know, she was a little difficult. And I was like, well, I'm not putting up with this. Right. I felt like, I won't get into it, but she had some things about her. And personality-wise, we clashed a bit. Because I just thought she was full of shit, right? But over the time, we'd been doing her hair for a while, and we'd sort of gotten to a place where we were both cool. I think we'd, you know, drawn our lines in the sand, and this is how I am, this is how she is, and, you know, let's work with that, which happens a lot. And but one day she texts me, she's like, I have to cancel today. And I was like, okay. Well, she didn't come back. She was gone for probably 6-8 weeks. No, I don't know how long, but she definitely was gone because she comes every few weeks. So I all of a sudden I'm like, oh, okay, so she's left. She's not, you know, because I've even told her, I can't do your hair. You are, you know, she'd be 5 minutes late. I'm like, I can't do your hair. You know, you don't respect my time. And I don't mean to be up on my high horse, but it's a big problem I have with people if they can't come to an appointment on time. Really, they should be there early. But, you know, sometimes people don't jive. People like that I don't jive with. And usually we don't end up being in a relationship or being friends or clients, customer, something like that. And she disappeared. And I was like, okay, well, there's that. Well, I got a text the other day, 2 days ago. Hey, I'm like, what's up? She's like, I just want to let you know I'm not dead. And I was like, okay, cool, good, good thing, right? And she's like, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I haven't been back because of the chair. And which means, you know, I don't know. And basically she's like, well, you know, I had to go somewhere else because the chair was uncomfortable. And turns out that I found comfortable chairs, but my hair looks like shit now. And can you do my hair? And, you know, it's so funny because that is, and even I even went through this, you know, 10 years ago in recovery. That's like, that's a open door to let him have it. Let him have it. And I was like, yeah, no problem. You know, one thing I've learned about this business is people come and go. I come and go, you know, whether it's in a restaurant or getting my hair cut or other different services or businesses that I go to. You know, one minute I love them and the next minute I'm not going for a while. And I, as the operator, have to recognize that, or I had to recognize that and did. And, you know, it's made my life a lot easier to recognize that it's not personal. Right. And even if it is, it isn't personal. People are going to do their thing. But, you know, of course, she's like, I've got a solution for the chair problem. I was like, okay. And what it is I think she probably, well, I almost just did it again. I almost thought. Who knows what the issue was? The reality was is that whatever journey she went through to get to the place where she's at, where she's texting me about coming back, I have to be like, yeah, no problem. What do you want? What can I do for you? When? And I, you know, I've got her on the book and she's happy and we're back. But, you know, there's a lot of opportunities in there for me to be a jackass. And, you know, because when I did realize that she hadn't been in and she wasn't on my book, because she would schedule like 2 appointments out and she was completely off, I was like, you know, like, doesn't she know? And I was like, I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm here. If she ever needs me, I don't want to text or say something that would eliminate a future, you know, relationship. When I have done that in the past, just letting you know, here's this, you know, departing or parting kick. And, but that happens all the time. I had, I don't know, it happens all the time. Situations come up. And, you know, people go do other things. And I have to be like, you know, that's fine. Because you never know when someone's going to come back. And, you know, I run a program on my phone where people can reach out and book appointments with me. And I had a guy text me. And this guy's an interesting dude. I don't know what his trip is. Unfortunately, his son passed away due to drugs and alcohol. So him and I have a connection. Because I'm sober and he, you know, knows the battle. And I really like the guy. But he, you know, he's a normie, right? And he texts me. He's like, you know, I'd like to get an appointment. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I was going to, and I forgot to text him. And then he sent me this text that sort of had an edge to it that I was like, you know. And I'm like, I'm going to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. And I'm just reading into it wrong. But there was another opportunity. You know, I have to keep my mouth shut. And stop. Actually, I shouldn't have to stop. I'm just trying to be better. And but these, you know, are spirits. And it's an interesting time what's going on in the world, because it does feel like a spiritual battle, a holy war. You know, my buddy RFK, my favorite RFK, he's like, this is a spiritual malady. An act of providence, a providential time. When he talks about the changing of food, he said, I read that in an article yesterday, a providential time. And that's what it takes, a moment, an act of providence, something so bad where change is ready. And I think whether it's me in recovery, my friends in recovery, or, you know, maybe our country in eating, right, in the food we've been fed. I don't know, but a providential time, which I thought was cool. All right, let's see. I'm going to read the Daily Reflections. And I'm working today, so we'll see what happens. It's going to be a good day. I think we're going to take the kids to TJ Maxx. It's really fun to watch. For those of you who have children, You know, I have a 13, 14, and a 20-year-old. And we went through this with our oldest son, you know, watching him start to find his little niche, his style. You know, I've always dressed my kids. You know, we've taken them to, you know, whatever kid's closet or whatever, you know, and we buy whatever's, you know, offered. And, you know, it's usually a skateboard or a wave on the shirt, something that's kind of trendy and cool. And, you know, we've done that for, you know, a big portion of the kid's life. Well, David went through it. He has his own swag and his look. And now my son, and my daughter, she's kind of, she's a little different. She's got her thing going, but my middle son, he's the one that's sort of finding his way. And he's always been like, you know, he gets the hand-me-downs. And but I know that he's always thought his older brother, David, was really kind of cool. And David is cool. I'm like, man, I wish I could dress like David. Because he's skinny and tall, right? But now Sam, he's trying to find his own path and his own look. And he's been up rummaging through David's clothes. And he's always looking for something. And I told him last night, I said, you know, because I talked to his mom and she had taken him to TJ Maxx. And he bought this cool windbreaker that he liked. And he found this cool sweater from my older son that he's been wearing for 3 days. And I'm like, hey, you want to go to TJ Maxx tonight? You know, we can find some clothes for you. He's like, yeah. And so we're going to take the kids tonight to TJ Maxx. And I don't know. I love having kids. They're so fun. I love watching their ups and downs and, you know, watching them figure it out. All right. The root of our troubles, selfishness, self-centeredness that we think is the root of our troubles. Yes. Which is funny because I actually thought I just drank too much, right? Or got caught too much, right? But turns out my selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 62. How amazing the revelation that the world and everyone in it can get along just fine with or without me. What a relief to know that people, places, and things will be perfectly okay without control and direction. And how worldlessly wonderful to come to believe that a power greater than me exists separate and apart from myself. I believe that the feeling of separation I experience between me and God will one day vanish. In the meantime, faith must serve as the pathway to the center of my life. That's right. Yeah, that's great. You know, I believe that the feeling of separation I experience between me and God will one day vanish. Yes, I agree. You know, I feel that's happening now. It has vanished, and I am grateful. Listen, I just wanted to get up here and do a podcast. I hope everyone's having a great day. Stay sober. Be accountable to somebody. Real quick, I've been thinking a lot about retirement. It's sort of obsessing my mind, this idea of not working, and I just know it's not a good idea, and I need to say it out loud, and you know, I need that demon to leave, this demon of gluttony and the demon of sloth. All right, hope everyone has a great day. Later.